In December of 2011, USA Today had an article related to apatheism. It was entitled, "Many Say, So What? To God, Religion, and Atheism," describing the attitude of those who are spiritually apathetic. This is a condition that is true of many people, according to several polls. 46% never wonder whether they will go to heaven or not. And 44% of this in this group that were polled don't spend time seeking eternal wisdom. So what about you? Are you apathetic? Do you care? Do you wonder? So let's take a closer look at apatheism. It is defined by Wikipedia as acting with apathy, disregard or lack of interest towards belief or lack of belief in a deity. It goes on to say that it describes the manner of acting towards a belief or lack of belief in a deity. So applies to both theism and atheism. And it's expressed this way, according to Wikipedia, that a person who is apathetic is also someone who is not interested in accepting or denying any claims that gods exist or do not exist. Any gods. And Wikipedia goes on to say that somebody that is apathetic considers the question of the existence of gods, plural, as neither meaningful nor relevant in his or her life. Now, in regards to whether God exists, whether there is a heaven or hell, the apatheist creed is, so what? And that makes me wonder, what causes someone to be apathetic? Consider, if you will, in the Old Testament, the Israelites. They were warned by Moses about the danger of materialism. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we begin reading in verse 11, and Moses writes to him and says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Who deceives themselves when they become rich? Well, Amos talks about this in chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. He says, "Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." And we read in Hosea 12 and verse 8, where Ephraim said, "Surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors they shall find me in no iniquity that is sin." In light of these passages from the Old Testament, we need to consider the Laodiceans from Revelation 3. They are described as lukewarm Christians, and the text says that Jesus was displeased with them. We begin reading in verse 14, and John writes, "To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." The Laodiceans had spiritual apathy, and that was a result of their materialism, their growth of material things, their stuff that they had in life. In the next verse, in verse 17 of Revelation 3, John writes, "Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, when all is well, when we are blessed materially, it's easy to become spiritually apathetic. God is not as important as maintaining our status in life. Compare that with the times of crisis. Do you remember this country when it went through the events of 9/11? Remember how this country drew closer to God, the religious fervor following that day? And some would say that that day was just short of a calamity. Well, I want to ask you, what cures people from being apathetic, of not caring? Well, the first thing I would suggest is true repentance. That's brought about by godly sorrow for sin. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." And also I might suggest that this is manifested by diligence, fear, and a desire to be pleasing to God. Paul would go on in the next verse of chapter 7, and he says, "For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner." What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Another thing in this true repentance is it's the kind of repentance that's produced by the Word of God. We go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 31, and Moses writes, beginning in verse 10, saying that he commanded them at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God, in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that your children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. You know, it's interesting, he states here that they needed to teach their children, that their children had not heard about this fear of the Lord. And that's a sad statement when we don't live our lives with fear of God. And therefore, the trickle-down effect, if you will, is that we don't teach our children to fear God. Another aspect of this is that it's through this that we learn of grace. And also we learn the penalty of neglecting grace. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. And a Hebrew writer talks about it in Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 31. And then another thing that brings us a cure for apathyism is true religion. I'm afraid many are apathetic because they have not seen or experienced true religion. But you know, Jesus offers what truly satisfies. In John 4 and John 7, he tells us that he offers the water of life that quenches the thirst, that spiritual thirst. In John 6 and verse 35, he tells us that he offers the bread of life that eliminates hunger. And in John 8, in verse 12, he offers light that dispels darkness. And he tells us again in John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36, that he offers freedom from the guilt and bondage of sin. And again in the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and verse 10, chapter 14 and verse 27, and chapter 16 and verse 33, he tells us repeatedly that he offers the abundant life, a life filled with joy and peace. So if I'm apathetic, if I'm apathetic toward God, toward worship, toward heaven, towards serving God and anything religious, then I think it's abundantly clear here that I don't have an abundant life. It's not filled with joy and peace. And as Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, this comes by knowing and abiding in His Word. It was offered to the lukewarm Laodiceans. They were now rich and royalty to come. Revelation 3, verses 18 through 22. So what causes apathy regarding religion? Well, I believe it boils down to ignorance. Not in a bad way, ignorance, but in an unlearned way, combined with material well-being. We live in a world that is a microwave society. We want everything done, and we want it done now. And when we get our way on things, the love of money takes over. And ignorance of God's Word is the preoccupation with material success. This world is about having stuff. It's not about serving God. And when we allow the world to take over, then we become apathetic. We don't care. So what can cure apathy regarding religion? Well, it's simple. A knowledge of God's salvation. A personal knowledge of God's Word. Personal experience of God's saving grace. And you can begin this by committing yourself to reading and studying on the Word of God. Meditating. And it's going to burn like a fire within you, leading you to Christ, where you will find salvation and joy through the wonderful grace of God. And they said to one another in Luke 24 and verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? There are other passages that talk about growing and how the Word affects other people. And it can affect us in the same way. Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that you will come to an understanding of God's Word, that you will have a desire to know God's Word and to grow in God's Word, and hopefully drive apathy away from you. And again, I want you to let you know I appreciate you being with me today, that you can listen to this lesson again. If you missed part of it, you can go to the church's website, churchateastside.com, and you can listen to this lesson again or other lessons. If you disagree with what's been said here, I would be glad to sit down and discuss with you anything that's been taught. Just bring your Bible and have book, chapter, and verse for why you disagree. If you'd like to join us at Eastside this morning, we'll meet at 9 a.m. for Bible classes. That's followed by worship service at 10 a.m. and we'll have another period of worship service at 5 p.m. And then we have a midweek Bible study each week on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're also having a summer Bible study at the building on Thursdays at 10 a.m. from 10 to 11. It's nothing serious. I mean, it's serious, but it's nothing hard to deal with. We're following a workbook on the construction zone, if you will, of the individual's spirit. If you'd like to join us on those days, you'd be more than welcome. Again, I want to thank you for being with me and encourage you to be back with us next Sunday morning. Thank you very much.